Welcome back. You are listening to Nate the Hate on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Be sure to like the video and subscribe to the channel if you have not already. And with that, I'd like to welcome in my co-host, Modern Vintage Gamer.
Hello, Nate. It's great to be here on a fine holiday weekend over in the US. Hope you're doing well and hope you have a good Memorial Day holiday.
Yes, a nice long weekend that people can enjoy. It is the beginning or the unofficial beginning of summer for many people. And when this episode airs, everyone will have enjoyed their long weekend, and we're going to kickstart your return to the work week with another quality episode of Nate the Hate. And if you would like to support our channel, we have a Streamlabs link in our description below. Donate any dollar amount, ask a question, we will answer it at the end of the episode. Donate $100 or more, and we will dedicate the episode to you. And with that, I want to start today's episode, which is going to be about the recent PlayStation Showcase, which just aired a few days ago. And we wanted to marinate on our thoughts a bit, really take it in, digest it, and think about it, and not give knee-jerk reactions, because knee-jerk reactions are really not favorable to anybody. You need to really reflect, look at the show, think about what it means. Because if you just look at what the show was in terms of game quality, it's really dependent on your unique taste as a gamer of what you're walking away from that showcase with. But we want to analyze the impacts that the showcase had on Sony's 2023, 2024, and beyond. Because when you look at it at a deeper level, it begins to show some concerns.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. The showcase, I don't feel like it hit all the right notes that Sony was looking for. And now there's, I guess, some concern about what the next 12, 18, 24, 48 months looks like for Sony. I mean, obviously they still have a really good list of games that they're currently developing that we know about. And I'm sure there are still games that we're not familiar with that will get announced, but you can't help just but wonder, what does the outlook look like now for Sony, going forward? It kind of felt like they had this down on lock and everything was kind of smooth sailing. But as is the nature of video games in 2023, nothing is confirmed. There's no such thing as smooth sailing anymore, I think.
Right. And, with this particular showcase, there was definitely a lot of anticipation around it. It was the first PlayStation showcase since 2021. And at that showcase, we had seen Insomniac reveal Spider-Man 2 with a teaser trailer. We also got a first look at Wolverine, also from Insomniac. And then there was a list of third-party exclusives like Knights of the Old Republic and, a variety of other games. Deeper looks at titles like God of War Ragnarok, Gran Turismo 7, Horizon. But it gave you a good outlook of what the PlayStation 5 and Sony were going to deliver, not only in 2021, but in 2022, and even a glimpse into 2023. So when you have your first showcase in 2 years, you have high expectations that Sony's going to continually deliver on that masterful marketing program that they have solidified over the better part of a decade. And then the showcase aired. And once it concluded, I began to think about it. And I said, I didn't walk away from the showcase with any further knowledge of what Sony has in store for the PlayStation 5 this year or moving forward, which has never been the case for Sony.
I agree. And I would also add to that, Nate, and say I have further questions now. Questions I didn't have really in my mind before the showcase, which I thought that, again, I felt like that we had a good handle on what was going on. And all of a sudden, it feels like there are a lot more questions that we have to ask on the, with the Sony camp.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I looked at the show, it was definitely a misfire in terms of Sony marketing. And I began to wonder why that could be. Could it be that back in 2021, when the first showcase aired, that the PlayStation 5 was still new? It was still within those first 12 months of introduction. So they want to sell you on the future. They want to sell you on hype of software that is to come. Mm-hmm. And they want you to invest in the ecosystem then and there on the promise of, a Spider-Man 2, Wolverine, God of War Ragnarok, and all these other variety of software titles from partners and internal partners. But now in 2023, the PlayStation 5 has hit its stride. It is selling out, software selling well, and the Xbox is struggling. So they really don't feel that much pressure to maybe come out and say, we're going to give you a roadmap for the next 2 to 3 years. Instead, we're going to keep things closer to the chest. We're going to coast in 2023 with Spider-Man 2. And maybe in the second half of the year or early 2024, we'll give you a roadmap further highlighting titles that are coming out in that calendar year and maybe give you a glimpse into 2025. But the showcase just didn't give us an answer to any of that. It did give us an answer to what Sony has planned for the second half of 2023, which is primarily Spider-Man 2.
One first-party game. That's it.
Yeah, and, you know, it matches the trend of what we've seen Sony do in 2023. They've had a very light year in terms of first-party releases. And if you want to lean on third-party partners to flesh out your schedule, by all means do that. The PlayStation 5 has a number of major exclusives coming out in just a couple of weeks with Final Fantasy 16, and they can survive on that. They've also have marketing deals on titles like Street Fighter 6.
Right.
And that's how they're going to survive this year. And I use the term survive very, you know, loosely there. They're doing far beyond surviving. They're thriving.
Mm-hmm.
But the showcase was not the show it needed to be if you want to show promise and excitement for your brand.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, you have a lot more questions as to what is happening at Sony and the PlayStation 5, and that's not how you want to conclude the showcase. If anything, and I hate to use this as a comparison point, the showcase felt as though it was a Microsoft event.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting way to put it. I didn't feel like it was a Microsoft event, but I also understand what you're trying to say there. In other words, there was a lot of third-party presence. There wasn't really much first-party representation. It felt like some of this stuff could have been a Twitter drop, you know, at best, some of the announcements. And then you have to wonder, was there really enough meat on the bone to put a show together in the first place? Now, look, I think there probably was, because Final Fantasy 16, yes, we know it's coming. We know about the Resident Evil 4 PSVR 2 stuff, but I think there was enough there, you know, to at least, I think, you know, for a showcase, everyone kind of walked away feeling good about something. Like, whether the show itself was kind of mid overall, I still feel strongly that someone, you know, everyone that watched the show kind of felt like, yeah, that was a cool announcement. I like that. I'm happy with that. So I guess there probably needed to be a show, but I also felt like, you're right, it wasn't a typical Sony showcase that we're kind of used to, where they basically just, you know, show us what they're working on, whether they are vertical slices or whether they are quick early looks or full gameplay trailers and whatnot. None of that was really there until the very end. And look, when the show started, Nate, hindsight is 2020, of course, but when Spider-Man didn't open the show, I immediately was on high alert that this may not go the way that I think it's going to go. And it kind of didn't really. But for me, I think, you know, one of the saving graces of the show was MGS3, even though that was just an early look at something, you know. And I think, again, you know, that's just the difficult part that Sony has to figure out going forward with, you know, any potential showcases going forward. They have to take a look at this and really think about, you know, a way to present and be more transparent with their, you know, with their audience as to what they're working on for their first parties.
Yeah, and that's what really stood out to me, is that when we just look at the showcase histories, is that Sony hasn't been reluctant in announcing games 2 or 3 right. years in advance of release.
Yeah, they're almost are known for it. You know, like, you watch something this year and you just know that it's coming next year, you know? And they've had, you know, they get a little bit of criticism for that, but that seemed to had not have occurred this time around, in so far as their first parties were non-existent, sure, there was still a lot of announcements for 2024, but that was mostly the third-party stuff. So I just felt like, yeah, it really just did not hit the mark for me at all. And again, you know, more questions here than anything.
Yeah, and I mean, when we look at the showcase of 2021 and they announced Spider-Man Wolverine, it's we knew from that moment in 2 years we'll have Spider-Man 2 in 2023. Wolverine will be 2024 or 2025.
Right.
And no one had a problem with that. You gave us CGI teaser trailers, which, you know, they didn't really give us any details about the game. But Spider-Man at this point is an established IP for you. You've released 2 games in the franchise from Insomniac. Mm-hmm. So you know going into Spider-Man 2, the general gist of what you're going to get. Wolverine, we really don't know what we're getting in terms of game design, but it was enough to whet our appetite of we're familiar with Insomniac's game design.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have a more adult, core-oriented character with Logan. And since that reveal, people have speculated over what direction is the game going to take? And yeah, we'll see Wolverine next year, more than likely, as it gets closer to release, because that fits what Sony has done with their marketing, is that you get kind of a blowout the year of release for the game. And we've seen this now time and time again. They did the same thing with Horizon, mm-hmm, God of War, Spider-Man 2. That is a fine cycle.
Yeah.
What stood out to me with this showcase is that Sony announced 2 new games. Both games had CGI teaser trailers.
Right.
And they really didn't showcase or highlight exactly what these games were beyond they appear to be games as a service.
Yeah.
One of the games is coming out in 2024, but you couldn't give us even a glimmer of what the gameplay direction is going to be until after the showcase airs. You see some tweets of, oh, this is a PvP style extraction or, you know, whatever the genre may be. Why not just give us a quick 20-second vertical slice or whatever of what the gameplay direction is going to be for this project? If Square Enix can show us foam stars and show us shooting bubbles everywhere and champagne, you can do this for what your next big first-party release is going to be for 2024.
Right.
You gave us the year. You couldn't give us gameplay? How can I be excited for those games coming from Sony when I know nothing about them? And they're new IPs, which means if you give us a CGI trailer, I don't know what to expect. I'm not familiar with this franchise. We've never played it before. We have no details about it. Highlight the strengths of the game in the initial trailer to give people something to cling to for excitement, because this is now a few days removed from the showcase,
mm-hmm,
and I can barely remember the names of the 2 games Sony announced.
Free Space or something? I can't remember either, honestly. I went back and watched the show 2 days ago after I kind of digested it on the day and everything. And look, I agree with you. It just did not hit the mark. And the other thing that I wanted to pivot on real quick, Nate, is Spider-Man itself. Now, in the last episode, I predicted that it was going to come out a little bit later on in the year. I think I said November early on, and you felt like it was September. And September seemed like it was the month for the game to come out to kind of go head to head with Starfield, for whatever that's worth. I mean, they're completely different games, and I think there's going to be some overlap there, but there's obviously going to be different people playing either game. But they did not commit to a date for Spider-Man. Now, my question to you is, I have my own thoughts about this as a developer. Not committing to a date means you're not quite ready to let the higher-ups know when you think this game's going to come out. You're pretty close. You know, you're feeling confident that you're going to hit that date, but you just want to make sure that you don't put yourself into a situation where it's a Cyberpunk situation. Not that Insomniac would ever let that happen, of course, because they're a great studio. But going back to my original question, what do you think the absence of a date for Spider-Man 2 meant? Do you think it's any cause for concern, or do you think it's just them, you know, trying to get their ducks in a row with the holiday schedule?
I think it's them getting their ducks in a row for the holiday schedule. As we've seen Sony do time and time again is that they have dated a holiday game, like be it Horizon, God of War, and then be faced with a delay.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to repeat that if you can avoid it. So by just giving it a general autumn 2023, fall 2023 release, you allow yourself to have some time. Now, there is the very real possibility that it has slipped out of, you know, September and maybe has fallen into October or even November. And depending on what Sony's internal scheduling was looking like, let's say last month, if in any form The Last of Us Factions was originally penciled in for a holiday 2023 release, all of a sudden, that's no longer there. And you might be saying, well, we have to fill that void. Spider-Man 2 is ready. Can we afford to, you know, push it a couple of months, get huge holiday sales with that game instead of launching it in September and then having that vacancy come November? And you just, you know, you shuffle around the release schedule a little bit. I could see that playing a role here, that Sony did have a game originally penciled in for the holiday that is no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just adjusting things accordingly to maximize sales potential.
Okay. So you don't think, in your opinion, of course we don't know, but you don't think that the game is under any type of situation where it could be delayed because the studio isn't quite ready to commit to a date yet? You think it's more of a, they're just shuffling things around?
I mean, it definitely could be a factor because last year I can look at God of War Ragnarok, which at one point was slated for September.
Right.
And then it slid.
Yeah. And quite, not considerably, but it slid a little bit, significantly enough for people to be a little, ask questions about, well, what's going on here?
Right. I mean, I remember last year, especially on social media, where people were saying, is God of War Ragnarok even going to make this year? And right. The developer said, it's going to come out in 2022. It came out a couple of months later than originally intended. It didn't have any detrimental effect to the PlayStation 5, PS4, or Sony sales. It was just they wanted a little extra polish. Something came up that they had to address. Now, when I look at Insomniac, I mean, Insomniac has released games like Clockwork.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they've ever have experienced a significant delay. They've also been the most prolific publisher or developer for the PlayStation 5 up to this point. They had two games at the PlayStation 5 launch with Miles Morales and Spider-Man Remastered. They had a Ratchet and Clank 6 months after that, and now they're going to put out Spider-Man 2, all within not even 3 years, less than 3 years. They have put out a variety of games. No other developer has matched this output.
Yeah.
So I think a delay, if it happens and it doesn't release in September, which we still don't have any clear indication that it won't, but the lack of a release date is definitely suspect, and it has to begin that conversation of, is it not making September anymore? If it is, why not give it a release date?
Right.
What are you waiting for? And, you know, if it is October or November, it's not a significant delay, if we even want to call it a delay, because it was never officially dated.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the game's going to come in at a high quality, you know, state.
Of course. I mean, when it does ship, whatever comes out on day one is going to be a quality product. I'm definitely not concerned about the game. I think it's going to be phenomenal. I'll be honest, I was a little surprised. I think out of everything in the showcase, for me, the lack of commitment on a date for Spider-Man 2 was probably the biggest surprise to me, because I felt like that was a lock. Everyone was telling me that it was a lock, and apparently it's not a lock. So we'll see. We'll continue to follow the trajectory of that game. And yeah, look, it's whatever is the case, Nate, I don't think it's going to be anything significant. If there is a delay, it's not going to be a big deal. And in some ways, it probably allows more time for people to play and enjoy that game, especially in November, where, you know, we're talking about Thanksgiving holiday here in the US and various other things going on. So bring it on. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was just one of those incidents with this showcase of what's happening here.
Yeah.
And I want to go back to, you know, that lack of presence from Sony's first parties, where you just had those two new announcements, CGI teaser trailers, and then you had follow-ups where you had tweets from individuals within the industry saying, well, I saw stuff that could have been at the show and it didn't make an appearance.
Fair game.
Now,
that was one of the, I just wanted to remind you of the name of the game. I said Free Space, which is a Descent game, by the way.
So. And the curious thing is, Sony has a lot of internal studios. You have Sucker Punch working on Ghost of Tsushima 2. You have Naughty Dog working on a single player game. Mm-hmm. You have Sony Santa Monica with Corey working on a brand new game. We know a Twisted Metal is in development. You have a variety of other studios who could have announced their games in a CGI form, and it would have led to hype. Like, let's say, had Sucker Punch come out and just given a general CGI teaser trailer of Ghost of Tsushima 2.
Mm-hmm.
In the same vein as the other two games, or even as Metal Gear Solid 3, because it is now an established franchise,
right,
it would get a hyped reaction.
100%. And you're absolutely right. Anything that they would have announced from their first party that they know that, you know, their studios are working on, or because the studios have not really said anything for the last couple of years. And we talked about quite a few of them last week. We mentioned Housemark. We mentioned Bend. We mentioned Sony Santa Monica and various other studios that we felt like we would hear from, right? And again, you know, like you said, anything, I feel like anything that they could have shown us, whether that was a vertical slice or just a teaser trailer, would have really, I think, gone a long way to just cement Sony's position going forward. And, you know, I don't really get the hesitation there. I don't know why that was not shown, you know, and that's the real confusing part for me.
Yeah, especially just as CGI trailers, where we've seen games be announced in CG form before game development has actually begun, like the recent Splinter Cell at Ubisoft. They announced the game because they were going to begin hiring to make it. They have nothing done on the game when the announcement was made. It didn't exist beyond just a thought in their mind. So Sony actively has these games in development. And one thing that came to my mind, and I may be off base with this line of thought, is that some of these projects very likely began development in 2019, if not 2020. And what happened in that time frame? The industry was screeching to a halt when COVID hit. And a lot of people think COVID impacts on the industry are behind us because some games were delayed a year or so, and those games have since released. But if your game was just starting production in 2020, you lost majority of that year, depending on how quickly you were able to transition to work from home, that your game that maybe at the time internally was penciled in for 2024 or 2025 is now 2026, 2027. Right. And we just have a showcase in 2023 that where, again, Sony's typical marketing roadmap is 2 to 3 years in advance. We announce the game. It releases 2-3 years later.
Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden, we just have a showcase that only had two new announcements.
Yeah,
what are the chances that this lull is because of COVID impacts and Sony is kind of sitting there saying, our next major release is, you know, 3 years out. We don't want to announce it in 2023. We'd rather announce it in 2024, compress that time of announcement to release a little bit to, you know, maximize that hype and interest level. We could have announced them now, but that gap until release is still quite significant.
Look, I know our audience is going to hate, you know, and not really listen to us when we mention this because COVID, you know, the COVID thing has been talked about so many times before. Here's what I'm going to say. I'm not sure if this take is 100%, but I feel strongly about it. And that is, not only has COVID affected the industry and we're continuing to feel those effects, like you said, I feel like in some ways the industry has forever changed after COVID. There's so many things that are done differently now. And I'm talking about things like a lot of workplaces are more accepting to remote work, you know, working from home. A lot of employees don't want to go into an office. They want to be more selective about where they work, right? And there's also the other side of this where I feel like, and my timeline may be a little incorrect, so, you know, bear with me here, but I feel like when COVID started was really when the PS5 and the Xbox Series consoles were also getting started, right? And I feel like there's a lot of knowledge, a lot of developer knowledge that was not really, you know, picked up as quickly as, we'll say, the previous generation because of the effects of COVID, the literal effects where, you know, people couldn't come into the office or people didn't have access to documentation or they couldn't collaborate with their leaders and they couldn't get information quickly enough, right? So I feel like the industry is still probably like 18 months behind where it should be this generation. And I don't know if that's an accurate thing to say as far as the timeline, but one thing that I think everyone can agree on is that, yes, COVID absolutely has really just kind of decimated the first couple of years of this generation. And we're slowly starting to get back to some semblance of a more kind of traditional schedule of releases. But I, like I said, Nate, I don't believe we'll ever get back to the way it used to be. You know, I think the industry, and not just this industry, but, you know, many industries out there, have been forever changed due to COVID. And I think that's just the facts.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's the thing is that up to this point, Sony has been firing on all cylinders. They haven't had that software lull
right.
that we've seen, you know, Microsoft suffer from for this generation.
They also had the PS4 to fall back on. And I think that's important, right? Now we're talking about PS5 exclusive games. And I think that's where things have shifted for them. And it's been a lot more difficult for them because they've always had the ability to spin up a PS4 version of, you know, a game. And I think that's worked well for them. Now they're kind of in this new kind of territory where they're trying to figure out the landscape as they're going along. And they're not really, I don't want to say they're not succeeding. They are succeeding because the PS5 is doing very well for them, but they're not firing on all cylinders yet. I think they have a lot more work to do.
You see, that observation, I think, kind of reinforces the idea of COVID potentially creating this lull.
Right.
Because as you mentioned, they had those PS4 games to fall back on. Now, if internally they were, you know, projecting supporting the PlayStation 4 up to 2022, because, you know, with God of War and such, now those PS5 exclusives, they would have begun production around 2019 for releases in 2023, 2024, 2025. You lost significant amount of time due to the impacts of COVID. And now this lull, this software vacancy is created. And yeah, we're still going to get a couple of releases from Sony in 2024 and 2025, but it's not going to match that output that we've seen from them from 2020 up till now. And you're not going to have maybe those megaton AAA first party releases. We'll eventually get to them because the games do have to come out.
Mm-hmm.
But we might now be hitting that rough stretch, that growing pain that it seems as though Microsoft went through in the early days and maybe are finally going to be coming out of it when Starfield comes to market and then you have Hellblade 2, Avowed, and other projects coming out on the Xbox Series. We will see if that's the case with the Xbox Showcase in just a couple of weeks. But Sony may now be hitting those growing pains that other companies have already been dealing with.
I want to talk quickly about PSVR 2 as well, because that was obviously a part of the show. And I think that also fits into what we're saying. But did you have anything to add about PSVR 2? Obviously, last week we said that Sony needs a big game at this showcase to really kind of get people on board with VR 2. You know, we said Half-Life Alyx. Obviously, I don't know. I mean, I don't even know if that game even exists, Nate. Let's be honest. It wasn't there, and we kind of felt like it wasn't going to be there. And we also said if it wasn't going to be there, then we can stop talking about it because it just doesn't exist. And I think that's fair to say. However, with that all said, what did you think about the VR2 stuff at the showcase? And are you concerned about the future of VR2 as well, PSVR2?
I am concerned about the future of PlayStation VR 2. I mean, you had some great new looks at some VR games. Resident Evil 4 VR looks
great. You
know, phenomenal.
Yep.
And then you had Beat Saber with Shadow dropped on PSVR 2 following the showcase.
Very, very cool announcement. But here's the thing. Beat Saber is like Doom. It's you can play it everywhere. You know what I mean? So we kind of knew that was coming, even though we didn't know it was going to get Shadow dropped. Well, I'm talking about a meaty virtual reality experience that really is a good reason to buy a PSVR 2 over the competition.
No, they didn't deliver on that front. And just like Sony's lack of presence in the main showcase for PlayStation 5, Sony didn't announce a first party PSVR 2 game at the showcase, and I think that's concerning. Jim Ryan and Sony can come. Yeah, they can come out as frequently as they wish and say PSVR 2 is important to us. We are committed to this platform. You couldn't even give us a CGI trailer.
Didn't they say that about the PSVR Vita 2 game? And then they killed it like a year later.
Yeah, they did it for PSVR 1 as well. They continually say we're going to support this platform until all of a sudden their support comes down to just, you know, one or two games a year, and those games aren't AAA status. And if you want to rely on third parties to come forward with quality VR games, I understand. But VR is in a perpetual state of, if you want me to buy a PlayStation VR 2, you need to commit resources to making games for that platform.
Yeah.
But I can't commit the resources to those games if there's no install base on that platform.
Right.
The only way I can get the install base on the platform is by committing resources to the games made for the platform. So you are stuck in a vicious cycle of, I need to invest in this, but I won't invest in it unless the consumer invests in it. But the consumer's not investing because I'm not investing.
I mean, it's true. It's absolutely true. You can't take, there's no wiggle room for this. You either have to execute and it has to be a hit. You have to really kind of bank on the fact that it's going to do well. Or you kind of do the dance, like you said, and that's the difficult part with VR2. It's always been very difficult to market virtual reality to people because you have to experience it one-on-one. You have to have that personal kind of connection with virtual reality. If you try to just watch a screen with a game that is supposedly running in a VR headset, it's not going to have the same impact. And, you know, those people that have used VR obviously have a feeling about how cool it would be to be immersed in a world like that. But a lot of people that are kind of heard about VR and they maybe want to try it out, or they're thinking about it, it's not going to connect with them at all. And that's always been the difficult part, I feel.
And that's where I think had Team Asobi showed up with a new Astrobot and that was VR, you know, equipped, that would have gone a long way of convincing people that, hey, Sony is committed to this platform. But when Sony doesn't show up to their own showcase where they said, hey, we're going to show you the future about PSVR 2, and they don't have a game to sell us on, and they just lean on Resident Evil 4 VR, which is going to be a quality VR experience, I have no question in that. It just makes me question, what is the future of this platform? And, you know, we're a few months out from launch, and there's just not that much incentive to be excited about it. Now, maybe this changes. Maybe Summer Games Fest, you have third parties come out and announce PSVR 2 versions of some upcoming games.
So,
but this showcase didn't deliver on that front at
all. I've thought about this, right? I've thought about Summer Games Fest and whether Sony has, I don't want to say defaulted, but they've given Keighley a couple of nuggets, you know, that they were potentially going to have at their showcase. Because I've heard some, you know, people say that may happen, right? Do you think that Sony would want to do that with Jeff Keighley and Summer Games Fest? Like, I could see a scenario where Keighley would basically offer Sony a really good slot on Summer Games Fest to kind of try before you buy, if you will. You know, put one of your games on my show and let's see how the audience participation is and the analytics and all that stuff, the likes and dislikes and the geometric telemetric data and everything about, you know, how well Sony's presentation was at Summer Games Fest. And then he can go back to Sony and say, hey, look, you guys did really well. You know, you got some really good engagement on this. give it, you know, let's talk about next year. Do you think that scenario is likely? Or do you think Sony, and I kind of lean this way, I feel like Sony wants to control everything, and they're not Nintendo controlling, but they're kind of in the middle between of Xbox and Nintendo, I'll say, and they want to control their own stuff. And that's how I feel. But do you think there is a universe where Keighley could potentially have gotten a couple of deals with Sony that we'll see at SGF this year?
Yes, but I think it'd be on a smaller scale, like a PC port right. of a current PS5 game. So
like Returnal on PC. I think that was last year at
yeah,
the Game Awards. Yeah,
something like that. So if, you know, Demon's Souls is to come to PC, I think that would be at Summer Games Fest. And, you know, like last year, Sony was at Summer Games Fest with The Last of Us Factions, The Last of Us Part 1. But you have to keep in mind, Sony didn't have a showcase last year. They only had a State of Play,
right.
which is third-party focused. So with the showcase, I don't see why Sony would opt to have any marketing deal in terms of PS5 games to be at Summer Games Fest. That just seems like a marketing mistake, that if you're going to have your own showcase where you're going to highlight your own software, to then pivot and give it to Jeff Keighley. Now, PC ports and those types of things, I could see them going with, because you want to keep that focus on the PS5, PSVR2, right. and you want people to get excited about your platform. Summer Games Fest has more of that mass appeal, where you're not necessarily appealing to the same audience who watches a PlayStation showcase. It has more of that casual interest. So if you announce some PC ports, it's going to reach a larger audience there. And I could see Jeff, you know, asking Sony or whomever to get that type of deal and trailer drop there, because it helps his show generate some hype. And it's easier for them to kind of, you know,
yeah.
shrug off some of those lesser announcements and still having at a meaningful stage with the size that Summer Games Fest has become.
Yeah, well said. And I look forward to that. I think, yeah, maybe there'll be a surprise or two at SGF this year. We'll just have to wait a couple more weeks.
I want to go into some just general reactions and thoughts to the showcase itself, not, you know, not the impacts and everything.
Yeah.
Because there's been a lot of reactionary, mm-hmm. you know, commentary out there about the showcase, of how it was the worst showcase Sony has put on, and, you know, all those types of takes. And I'm of two minds when it comes to the showcase. Whereas if I view it as a Sony showcase and a time to see Sony's first party efforts, and then of the second mind, it's just a gaming presentation. When I think about it in the first sense, it was weak.
Yes.
Sony didn't show up with their own games. They just gave us a couple CGI trailers. And on that front, it was a very weak showing from Sony. But on the second point, if I just viewed it as a gaming event, there were a lot of really cool announcements here, be it Metal Gear Solid 3, mm-hmm. Resident Evil 4 VR first look.
Assassin's Creed, I like that.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed Mirage, yep. the first look at the spiritual successor to Journey. A lot of really neat announcements. It just underwhelmed with the PlayStation Showcase branding. If it were a State of Play and you just removed those three Sony announcements,
yep. would have been a great one.
You know, it would have been a fantastic State of Play. People would have been like, wow, a new, you know, the return of Marathon, such an odd resurrection from Bungie's origin days. And, you know, all those indie announcements that they had, it would have been a fantastic State of Play. It's just a very disappointing showcase because Sony forgot to show up to their own show.
Right. Yeah, look, I agree with you. I think as a show itself, like I said at the, you know, earlier, there was something there, I feel like, for everyone to kind of walk away and say, that was cool, I like that. I had some really good excitement from some announcements. I liked MGS3. Even though we didn't see anything, let's be honest, of MGS3, Delta. I mean, that's probably not, we're not going to see that game for a while. I liked Assassin's Creed. I'm a fan of Assassin's Creed, so I was very, very happy to see that it looks like it's going back to its roots, so that was good. And I liked Spider-Man 2. I think those three announcements for me were good enough for me to say, look, that was a good show. You know, if this was a State of Play, it probably would have been their best, or at least that in the top two or three best State of Plays, because it had a lot of meat on the bone in that regard. And the really good thing Sony does, and they're very clever, is that they make you try to believe that these are exclusive to PlayStation only, even though obviously they don't say that because they're multi. A lot of these games are multi-platform, and Xbox was out there on Twitter, you know, not soon after, you know, tweeting that these games are all coming to Xbox, which is cool. I love that. But, you know, Sony is really good at kind of making you think that these games only are available on PS5, which, you know, which is what they need to do, right? Especially when you don't have a solid first party to show. So yeah, as a show itself, I thought the show was decent enough, but as a Sony showcase, honestly, you were saying that some people said this was the worst one. I mean, I don't know if it was the worst one, because Spider-Man 2, you can't put Spider-Man 2, you know, for 10 minutes at the end of the show and say it was your worst state of play. I don't care if you don't have anything else, but it was definitely one of my least favorites, I'll say, probably, you know, in the bottom, you know, couple of them, to be honest. It was very disappointing, and I think Spider-Man really kind of saved them from absolute embarrassment, to be honest. I mean, if Spider-Man wasn't at the showcase, look, it was always going to be there, but let's say whatever reason it got pulled at the last minute, I mean, what are you left with there? I mean, it's almost, you know, embarrassing at that point. But I didn't really think as a Sony first party viewing, it was really that good, to be honest with you, Nate.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, when we started, I said it had that feeling of a Microsoft showcase, mm-hmm. because we've seen those Microsoft shows where it's just CGI trailer after CGI trailer. And you can go back just a couple of years ago where Microsoft announced Contraband,
yep.
with a CGI trailer and a logo. We haven't heard or seen the game since. And how am I supposed to be excited about something that had no details?
Exactly. And yeah.
That's what the Sony showcase had when it came to Sony announcements. And then, you know, The Last of Us Factions was missing, as we learned later that the game is in a questionable state. It may not even see release.
Very surprising, especially again after last year at the Game Awards, there was mention of it there, right? Yeah, very surprising to hear that. And it sounds like the game may never see the light of day. It's still being figured out. And I think Jason Schreier reported on it that basically the team that's on it has been reduced to you know, only a handful of people now and stuff like that. So it doesn't sound good for that game, for Factions 2, unfortunately.
Yeah, and then when you look at the, you know, the focus of the showcase in terms of Sony output was games as a service. When you follow up that Factions is in a rough state and you announce two additional games as a service, you begin to really wonder, is this payoff going to be substantial for Sony at the end of the day? Or are we just looking at a dozen games that they have internally projected to be games as a service may not even come to market? Or if they do come to market, only have a shelf life of maybe 6 to 10 months, and then their servers are shut down. Is this just a wasted capital investment for Sony? We'll find out as the years and months advance.
Well, so I've thought about this a little bit, and look, no rich company ever wants to lose money, right? And I'm not suggesting Sony is interested in doing that, but I am curious about this live service stuff, because part of me feels like they started chasing trends a few years ago, and now we're at this point where it's not as sexy to gamers. It's not as exciting as it used to be. There's been obviously a lot of turmoil in the live service kind of, you know, market with video games, especially in the last 2 years. We've seen a lot of non-starters. We've seen games literally get, you know, closed down after a month. We've seen games like Babylon's Fall. We've seen the good and the absolute worst of live service games. Do you think it's possible that Sony is internally working on a bunch of them and they're of the mindset of, we just need one of these to be an absolute smash hit and we're good. We've already made our money back. Do you think that's something that Sony would do? And I'm not picking on Sony specifically, but do you think that's something a video game hardware maker and publisher would do that has billions of dollars in the bank, that they would, you know, basically try a bunch of different things and see if something actually works? Or do you think it's really more a case of, they were basically just chasing trends, and you know, we're starting to see kind of the results of those chasing trends chasings that they were doing.
I think they're chasing a trend, a couple of years late to the trend. But when I look at, you know, Haven's game, it feels as though this was a trend from a couple of years ago. Sony's coming a little late to the party with it. Marathon,
yeah,
it feels as though that's another game that is chasing a trend and it's going to show up late. Now, that has Bungie at the helm. Bungie is talented at what they do. If there's any company who can launch a games as a service, maybe in a weak state, but get it into relevance, it's Bungie. Mm-hmm. We've seen it, you know, we've seen what they've done with Destiny and Destiny 2. So, you know, Marathon has tons of potential, regardless of how it launches. But I don't know if Sony would want to invest years of time and man hours and manpower into projects that may never come, you know, to light, or do release and then are shut down within the first year. And the fact that The Last of Us Factions may not release, I think says a lot about Sony's analytics and their estimation of games as a service, is that they're willing to look at something that has had years of development time at one of their prestigious studios of Naughty Dog and have Bungie go in, evaluate it, and then come out and say, we're cutting the amount of people on the team, mm-hmm. and we're going to evaluate this again at a later date. And if it's still not up to par, we're going to shelf it. And we can just look at very recently, you had Deviation that was making a AAA games as a service for Sony, where they have now let go of, what was in the area, 50% of their staff, and the game is very likely canceled. So if anything, Sony's is making those initial investments, but when it comes time to check in on them, if it's not up to par, they're going to eat lost cost and say, we're canceling the project, you're going to something else, because we can't fund this any further. We're not willing to take that risk of putting it on the market and having to shut it down. We'd rather just eat the loss and move on to something that we know can sell, even if it's not going to release for another 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that I want to say, as far as the overall vibe of the showcase, was the doors open for Xbox. You know, we kind of, I want to say we wrote Xbox off, you know, a month ago, but I think Xbox was probably at their lowest point, you know, over the last few weeks with Redfall and the CMA business and all that stuff that was going on for a long, long time. And it almost felt like, you know, the year was a write-off for Xbox this year. There was really nothing to look forward to. But now all of a sudden, because again, you know, I felt like Sony didn't really fire on all cylinders this time around, now Xbox has a chance to kind of step in and really put on a fantastic show. And look, we're going to talk about it when the time comes. I don't want to talk about it right now, but what is your feeling about Xbox now? Do you think that they watched this show, had a slight smirk on their face, not a big one, because you know they've been knocked around quite a bit over the last few weeks. Let's be very clear, they're still hurting from those body blows, right? But do you think that they're you know, a little bit reinvigorated, and now they're like, yeah, let's go. We've got an avenue here to really put on a good showcase for our Xbox fans.
In a word, yes, I think this stumble by Sony has opened a window for Microsoft to come in with some hyped announcements and show a promising future for the Xbox in 2023 and 2024. And if they want to give a glimpse into 2025, they can. And if I'm Microsoft, that's exactly what I'm looking to
do.
I want to show promise and excitement for my brand, because since 2021, there hasn't been much of a reason to be excited about the Xbox. So this is your chance to capitalize while Sony trips. Get sprinting, get ahead of them if you can. And, you know, Microsoft is never going to overtake the PlayStation 5 this generation. The PlayStation 5 is going to beat out the Xbox. But Microsoft can still gain some momentum. They can still get interest in their brand. And this is the moment to do that. And Microsoft very well can do it come the Xbox showcase in just a couple of weeks. And we'll get into that when we do our Xbox predictions episode. And if Microsoft can bring even 50% or 75% of what I'm thinking may be there, it's going to be an incredibly exciting show for those who own an Xbox, and maybe those who are now on edge, who are looking to the showcase saying, I think I'm going to buy a PS5. let me see what the showcase has. They watched the showcase and said, okay, but what's after Spider-Man 2? I don't know. Here comes Microsoft with, hey, here's Starfield.
Yeah.
And this is what's coming after this. Some promising stuff, but you know, right, potentially on the horizon. So it's an exciting time if you're Xbox due to Sony just misplaying this opportunity so poorly.
I agree. I think, you know, Microsoft needs to not have the next 12 months playbook that they did last year. If they do that this year, I hope they don't. Please tell me they're not going to. Then, you know, they really need to, they really need to show us what the next few years look like, because Sony hasn't. And like you said, even if it's a vertical slice, a trailer, a tease, whatever, you know, if we see more Fable footage, maybe we see some early gameplay, or maybe we see some Perfect Dark, you know, maybe a level of that game, just a slice, right? We know that those games aren't coming out this year, probably not next year, maybe next year, we don't know yet. But if you can get your audience and potentially get those gamers that watch the Sony showcase and were like, I don't know what's coming after Spider-Man 2, like you said, but all of a sudden, you know, you've got a roadmap of games such as Perfect Dark, Fable, Forza, Hellblade 2, Avowed, you know, all of a sudden Microsoft and Game Pass looks a lot more attractive than it did, you know, when Redfall released, you know, about a month ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the big thing for Microsoft going into their showcase, is that they just need to show a very promising future. And, you know, I think they will. And, you know, at the same time, I do wonder that, let's say Sony intentionally held back some announcements at this, you know, showcase for whatever reason it be.
Do you think that's true? Let's I'm gonna ask you the question, because there have been some articles about this that for whatever reason Sony didn't show their entire hand. And look, in one way you could say, of course they didn't, because they're literally in the lab. Their studios are in the labs working on stuff that we have no knowledge about, because it's all still under wraps, right? So of course they do. But with that said, did they have a showcase planned and then kind of, I don't want to say at the last minute, but at some point during this process, they decided to hold a couple of things back?
The only way I think that has any truth is if Sony is planning a late showcase in the second half of 2023, and they said, you know what, I want our focus on this particular showcase to be Spider-Man 2. Once we get closer to release or after release, we'll do that secondary showcase where we'll further show some of the points on our roadmap for 2024 and early 2025, where we can show you a trailer for Ghost of Tsushima 2. We can show you Corey's game at Sony Santa Monica. We can show you what this studio and all these other studios are up to. That's the only way it would make any logistical sense to me, because otherwise, why would I say, hey, all these other companies are ready to announce their games, but no, we're not going to let you. Yeah. That doesn't make sense. You could have a blowout, but you chose to play things conservatively for what reason? And the only reason I would think is a secondary show, or you're just so overly confident in your brand right now, mm-hmm, that you looked to Spider-Man 2 as your holiday release and said, we don't need to do anything else right now. We are coasting and we're going to enjoy our victory for the remainder of the calendar year. And come this time next year, we'll detail our lineup with, you know, further announcements. But until then, we have no pressure and there's no sense of urgency to really step out. So let's play things conservative, because, you know, Microsoft hasn't put pressure on us. So let's enjoy, let the developers continue to work on their game. And if we reveal it 6 months ahead of release, hey, we're all happy with that. Consumers may be a little upset, but hey, we're making a lot of money and we're selling a lot of consoles. So why not enjoy it?
Do you think there'll be pressure on Sony if, number one, Xbox has a good showcase, it hits the mark, we see some, you know, they mentioned surprises and some announcements and stuff that we already know about. Plus, the ABK appeal goes through and Microsoft gets the deal. Do you think if those two things happen, Sony will feel the pressure at that point? Because I think they will.
I think they would feel a bit more pressure. Like, had the ABK deal gone through, then maybe we would have seen a couple more CG announcements from Sony and their, mm-hmm, internal partners of what is to come, only to counteract that major get from Microsoft.
Right.
And, you know, like, again, that kind of plays into that role of there's no sense of urgency. They don't have to do anything to win right now. They're up by 5 touchdowns, mm-hmm. and we're entering the fourth quarter. Unless Microsoft comes in as Tom Brady against the Atlanta Falcons, Sony's winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And right now, you know, Microsoft has fumbled the ball time and time again. So there's really no concern that they're going to come in and throw 4 touchdowns in 5 minutes. And, you know, even at the Xbox showcase, even if they did, it's not going to put any hamper on Sony's momentum right now. Spider-Man 2 is going to be one of the top-selling games of the year. You have Final Fantasy 16 coming up soon. Sony just has a lot of energy on their side. And yeah, the showcase definitely dampened things a bit, but people are still excited just about the PlayStation 5 in general. But it's just that missed opportunity of showing more promise of what is to come. And the fact that we don't know what else is coming from Sony's internal studios now than we did a month ago is just a really disappointing,
yeah,
you know, play out. You would have thought we would have known half a dozen new games coming from Sony's internal partners at this point following the showcase. And all we know is 2 other games that we have no details on beyond that they're games as a service. And I mean, frankly, I don't have that much interest in them at this point in time because those trailers, you know, didn't give me a reason to have interest in them.
Mm-hmm.
But
what is your letter grade for the show?
I don't even know if I can give it a letter grade.
I'm going to give it a C plus.
See, that's the thing. Like, I can't give it a letter grade because if I view it as that Sony showcase, as we touched on earlier, it probably is a C. Well, if I just view it as a state of play without those Sony games, I'm probably coming in with a B plus.
Well, here's another way to look at it. It's a Sony showcase because that's what they called it. If they didn't want to call it that, they would have called it a state of play. So Sony set the rules here. They set the rules. So you got to take it on the rules that were set, a showcase. So I'm going to take your C as your result because I think that's fair. Yeah. I think a C is about right. It was a mid showcase. Spider-Man 2 saved it. Otherwise, it would have been a disaster.
Yeah, it's a mid showcase. Spider-Man 2 was the savior. A lot of fantastic indie announcements, some cool looks from third-party games. Sony's presence was basically meaningless. It didn't prove any value of being there. And when you weigh that in, yeah, it comes in C minus, a C. And, you know, we've been harsh on Xbox shows that have had only CG trailers. And if they repeat that in a couple of weeks,
yeah,
we're going to be here again saying, what the hell was that?
I hope they haven't finished filming it yet. I hope this is not in the can because I want Xbox to, if they need to make any last minute pivots, go for it. You know, don't settle on what you have. Like, you need to draw the strengths of your brand and expose the weakness of the competition. And I think if you go ahead and make any adjustments that you feel are necessary to make this one of the best ever Xbox showcases, then do it. Don't hesitate. Because I think, yeah, this is yours for the taking, Xbox. So go for it. Hopefully we'll see that happen. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see because Xbox is a little shaky as well. I don't feel like they're, you know, I mean, I'm confident that Xbox is going to have a good show, but it's Xbox. You know, they've stumbled, like you said, they've fumbled the ball many times this year. They could fumble again. We'll have to wait and see.
And that's the thing is that they do fumble the ball and, you know, all of a sudden Microsoft comes in at their showcase and they only show Starfield and Forza, and they just
if they don't,
you'll show, see the rest of our stuff at a later date. Like,
if they show Starfield and they show us Forza, and be a little wishy-washy on the date, you know, they say early 2024, let's say, right? Could happen. And we don't hear about Hellblade, we don't hear about Avowed, we don't hear about Fable or Perfect Dark or Everwild, Indiana Jones, whatever id Software is working on, you know, that stuff, then we're right back where we started. Honestly, nothing has been gained.
It's Microsoft's. This is their opportunity to do something, and we'll find out in a couple of weeks.
And Microsoft,
we'll give our predictions too.
If you're listening, I know I have friends at Xbox.
if you have a little spot about Redfall getting a 60 FPS patch and you think that is a cool announcement for the show, yank it out right now because it's not. Just drop that on Twitter. It will make people a lot happier. You're welcome.
They're like, we have an hour worth of new announcements. 10 minutes. Here's Redfall at 60 FPS.
If there's any Redfall at this show, then help us. God help us.
Yeah. Pull it. We don't need to say, here it is, guys. Pull it.
Just come and talk to me.
Put it on Twitter.
I will give you free advice on what I think is good pacing. Redfall is not, should not be a part of your plans.
Damn. And on that very dark note, we go to the Streamlabs questions. And our first question for the week comes from Late for Arrival, who donated $1 and writes, what is one franchise that is universally acclaimed that didn't connect with you and why? Ooh. Mine is The Last of Us. I didn't connect with the gameplay mechanics, the overall darkness of the game, and the overall heaviness of the story.
I can definitely see that. I did connect with The Last of Us. I'm trying to think of one for myself, and I can't think of anything. Nate, go ahead, and I'll come up with something that I think. I want to say Borderlands, but I didn't really care that much about Borderlands anyway, I don't feel like. But it was, you know, a lot of people did like that series, of course.
I feel like I could probably, if we're just talking about a franchise in general, not specifically related to gaming, it's Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've talked about this. Yeah.
I don't care about Star Wars. I don't care about Star Wars games. Mm-hmm. I will never care about anything relating to Star Wars. I'm sorry. People can say, oh, you got to play this new Star Wars game. I don't care.
Yeah, I think I have mine. I realize it's staring at me in the face. It's Pokemon. It's always been Pokemon. And I get it. I kind of grew up a little older in that generation of people that started playing Pokemon on, you know, the old systems and stuff. But I've never really connected with that series. And based on the latest bunch of games that Game Freak and Nintendo have brought out, I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything.
You then had a $1 donation from Jackie G. How closely linked do you think the release of Tears of the Kingdom and the launch of the next Nintendo hardware were behind the scenes? If the game released in 2022, would new hardware be closer to release now than in reality, or is it just convenient?
I love how he said the word linked in there, by the way. I caught that, Jackie G.
I don't think there was really any connection between the two. I think Tears of the Kingdom was always developed for Switch in mind. And had Nintendo come out with a pro-style revision, then, yeah, the game would have taken advantage of any benefits that hardware would have had. But in terms of the successor hardware, it's always been independent. That is the last Streamlabs question for this week. If you'd like to support the channel, we have a Streamlabs link in the description below. Donate any dollar amount. Ask a question. We will answer it at the end of the episode. Donate $100 or more, and we will dedicate the episode to you. And with that, I'd like to thank MVG for joining me, as always.
Always a pleasure, Nate. Thanks for having me on. It was a lot of fun.
And let us know your thoughts on the Sony Showcase and the impacts the Showcase had on 2023 and 2024. If you think COVID had any impact on the announcements made, and any general thoughts you had on the Showcase in the comments section below. And until next time, continue to embrace the hate.